Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and nine-month FY 2022 earnings conference call of Suven Pharmaceuticals. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh Rao from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to discuss the Q3 and nine months FY 2022 earnings for Suven Pharmaceuticals. We have with us Mr. Venkat Jasti, the Managing Director, and Mr. Venkatraman Sunder, Vice President, Corporate Affairs. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Documents relating to the company's performance have been mailed to you earlier. I now request Mr. Jasti to share his perspectives on the performance and outlook. Over to you, sir.
Tuned into this earnings call. As you could see, I think we have done better than the last quarter. In spite of the increased costs on the goods, logistics costs and all that stuff, but still we could manage to maintain even the profitability also. I think I can answer all questions on that eventually, rather than telling which is already on the papers. Other thing which I want to update you is, as you know, we are 25% holding in Rising Pharmaceuticals in USA, which we have divested in December to HIG-led with a $45 billion company, which has taken the full stake of Rising Pharma from all the stakeholders. They are 60% now, and we have residuals after getting a cash of $40.5 million plus $15 million worth of shares are allotted in the new company, which is equivalent to 7% of the value on that. That has been done in December itself. That I want to update you on that part of it. I think things are moving well. As you know, we may not have the crystal ball for the whole year, but as of now, for the next 6 months, it looks good. Run rate will be closer to the same thing as of the quarter three. I hope also to maintain the profitability also. At the same time, there are some caveats like unavailability of raw materials, which can derail our progress. That's the only bothersome thing in addition to the increase in the raw material cost, which is okay, which we can take some heat on that. Unavailability itself will derail some of the progress we think we will have. With this, I think I'll stop at this, and I'll wait for the questions to be answered.
Should we begin the Q&A session?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Jasti. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Firstly, I want to understand a few things on the strategic M&As that they've been taking, right? So in 2019, when we acquired Rising Pharma, I believe the Casper Pharma, which is what we have mentioned in our, that we are looking to buy a formulation facility from them. Casper Pharma was the buyer in that transaction, right? And then in the recent SIG buyout, I believe they have bought Casper Pharma along with Rising Pharma to make a combined entity in which we have 7% stake. And this Casper Pharma, I believe, is somehow related or is the same company to Cronus Pharma, which is what Aurobindo Pharma was trying to buy last year, which they terminated, which is into animal health products. So can you help me understand the bigger picture of what we are trying to accomplish over here?
Yes, as you rightly said, the HIG partners has bought both the Rising Pharma and Casper Pharma businesses. And as I said, we are also 7% in the residual partner in the new company. And this India, Casper Pharma India, is not part of the deal. During the discussions, HIG said, "Since I'm a minority partner and since I'm in India, it is better instead of we running the business, I mean, because it's not being a part of it, it is people from Vimal Kapur and all these people, they are having this stake in this one." They said that, "It is better you take it over and run it," because Casper India has an existing contract with Rising Pharma to do all the products that are developed in the Rising Pharma R&D, in the manufacture and supply on a profit share basis to Rising Pharma. It's a long-term contract is existing. So what we are, based on that now, we have taken our board permission to take the, I mean, in-principle approval. Now, we are handing it over to the legal and financial diligence to arrive at the costing. And because this facility is in SEZ in Hyderabad Airport, and it is in a 13-acre site, and it is already filed 6 ANDAs and waiting for the FDA approval. So all the other products that are under development and the Rising R&D will be exclusively manufactured Casper Pharma and supplied to the Rising on a profit share basis. So that is the rationale where we are interested in it. And it is being a minority partner there, there is a benefit there also. They want a sustainable and predictable people to run this place on a commitment basis. That's why we are evaluating this. If the price is good and, I mean, valuation is good, then only we will go forward on that. That's why we have entrusted this to a Big Five firm in the financial diligence and a legal firm also. So this is the status.
Right. So, sir, I believe this plant has three lines. One is the general injectable, one is the special injectable, and there's another oral drug. So we are acquiring all this, the entire facility with all the three lines, or we are acquiring just the oral drugs formulation part?
This Casper Pharma is only, as of now, built for 1.2 billion capacity, for solid oral dose forms like capsules and tablets. And it has a plan to do in the future, other liquids also work, but no injectables.
No injectables. Okay, okay. And sir, another thing, like in the last phase of our CapEx, we had built a formulation facility for the formulation business that we are trying to scale up, right? But, till now, we haven't really scaled up that business well. So what's the rationale of acquiring another formulation facility? Can't we do this business from the same facility that we have?
No, our expansion does not go, I mean, all the projects which we have in, which we are going to mature soon. But to take all these new projects, it will not be sufficient. And also, this is an existing facility and coming with the many number of products and long-term contracts, unlike where we are building and looking for a maturity of the product or a partner and all that stuff, right? That's the difference. Here is a long-term contract, ready to go into the operations and on the future potential with the new R&D projects arising out of the R&D exclusively manufactured here. All these things are the rationale where we have been working on.
Right. Right. So the contours of this business would be dilutive to our existing business model?
Which one, sir?
The new long-term contracts that we have based on Casper Pharma, will this be dilutive in terms of margins profile?
Oh, yes. I mean, the formulations, whatever the, what do you call, the tech transfer projects or whatever the normal, the profit-sharing basis which is there, it will be same thing. And it's already existing contract, which we are doing, I mean, which we have seen it, and but we are now giving it for the diligence. And based on that, we'll go.
Right. Right. Okay, so I have few more questions. I'll just get back in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please restrict your questions to three per participant. Time permitting, you may return to the queue for your follow-up questions. Our next question is from Abdulkader Puranwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. So just the first question, follow-up on what the previous participant was asking. So you said they have filed six ANDAs, and none of them are commercialized. So, I mean, are we just looking for the plant or, you know, what could be the sales opportunity in terms of what is currently being filed and what is under development?
As I said, it's none of them are, I mean, approved since because the FDA inspection has not taken place. It's a brand new facility. So we are evaluating all those aspects, but it is the long-term prospects are what we are looking for here. And only after the, what do you call, FDA inspection only, then this will go into the commercial opportunity, isn't it? So that's what the rationale and that process.
Yeah. So what my question was basically on the ANDAs which they would have filed. So what would be the branded sales of the product, what they filed the generic in the U.S.?
We just has taken an in-principle approval. We have not gone through the thing. The diligence is going on. Then things will come out, and based on that, we'll be able to know. And based on that, it's more or less it is a asset value only we are going to pay. That's what it is, not the business, because business will take time to come into, because the FDA has to come, and then the approval has to come, and all those things. So it is, if it is within the asset value, and what we get out of it is, it's ready to go plant, FDA approval plant with existing people, with existing contracts, and if I have to start all over again, because our facility which we have created in Pashamylaram will take care of only 300 to 400 million only, but not the 1.2 billion. So that's one thing. These new products that are coming in, future products that are coming with long-term existing contracts, these are the things that are interested us. That's why we are going ahead. Finally, we are going to pay for the asset only, not for the business. There is no business as of today. I want to make it clear.
Got it, sir. Got it. And so just one more on, I mean, on the CapEx, 600 crore CapEx plan, what we had announced in the earlier quarters, does that remain intact or, because we are doing some expansion at Pashamylaram, so are we, you know, still going ahead with that expansion if we acquire this facility or, that plan largely remains intact?
No, the expansion is over. No, last time it's over. This 600 CapEx is for the new thing. So one for the, I mean, Suryapet replacement block, R&D relocation, and one additional block in Pashamylaram, which we have not started yet, we'll be starting soon.
Yeah, so my question was with regards to that one new block only. So if we are doing this, or, you know, pursuing this acquisition, would we still have to expand the Pashamylaram block?
Oh, yeah, I think you're misunderstanding. What we are acquiring is a formulation facility. What we are saying in Pashamylaram is a CRAMS side of the block, I mean, intermediate block. That's different, and this is different. So that will continue. The CapEx which you have earmarked is there. It will continue. The new opportunity that has come because of this divestiture, and because they want to divest these Indian operations to people who can run, and they start, it is a partner is the right thing, and we are taking 100% of the thing. No partners will be there. It's an asset-based purchase will be there.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Got it. And just final question, sir, on the CDMO pharma run rate for the quarter. You posted close to 266 crores of the top line. So just wanted to understand or have some color as to what led to this kind of a top line. I mean, you mentioned that you have a 6 months visibility, but if you could just throw some further, some more color on this run rate, what we've achieved in this quarter.
Yeah, I mean, there is one new commercialization that has happened, and also the traction on the other products also good in the basic CRAMS also. And as I was telling in my earlier comment, things are moving in the same direction, maybe for the next 6 months also. So things are better now.
Okay. Okay, got it. So, sir, how many molecules would we have under phase three now?
We have five in the commercial and five in the phase three.
Got it, sir. Got it. All right, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Purvi Shah from Kotak. Please go ahead. Purvi Shah, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with the question.
Looks like Purvi is not connected.
Yes, as the line of the current participant, we'll move to the next participant. That's Sarvanan from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Congrats on a good set of results. So last year, you had communicated that there are one specialty chemical and one pharma intermediate would go commercial. So with this, in this quarter, I presume that even the pharma intermediate has gone commercial. So we have commercialized two opportunities in this financial year. Is that the right understanding?
Yeah, last year, early part, we have commercialized the agro side of the business, and last quarter, we commercialized the CRAMS side of the business. Yes.
Okay. And you have communicated that another five projects are on phase three as of now.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And in terms of ANDAs, first off, we had filed five new ANDAs. And anything we have done in the Q3, and also how many we have launched so far?
I mean, so far we have filed 17 ANDAs together, and approved are 9. As of last quarter, 7 are launched. The 2 more approved will be launched sometime in the next 3 months.
Okay, great. And I have one bookkeeping question for Mr. Sundar. The sale of stake in Rising Pharma, has it been accounted in this quarter? So that, is it getting reflected in the other income?
Well, you know, the Rising Pharma will not be consolidated as a part of their income, under the equity method, which we have been doing it on a quarterly basis. So that will not be there because our stake has come down to only 7%. What is disinvested, the actual money, what is received, that is already there in the consolidated account.
Yeah, so what is getting reflected? See, earlier we had two line items. So this is the P&L from associate company, and we had a normal other income. So this quarter we are seeing unusually high other income. Is it because of the passing of the investment sale entry?
Correct. That's right.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit from Oculus Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congrats on the great set of numbers. So my question was, in a recent interview, we heard that your raw material pricing that is not passed on to the customer if there is any rise in raw materials. So in this environment, when most of the commodity chemicals and all the other chemicals have gone up so much, how are we able to maintain such a good margin when the raw material price is not passed on? And also wanted to know, what is the duration of an average contract that we have for our customers? When do they get renewed, and how does it happen?
One thing you have to understand, there is no contract period. In the sense, when you are doing a product which is in the clinical trial, there is nothing like a contract. Only it moves, like, passes that clinical trial, goes to the next level, only then you get the repeat order. So they cannot give a guaranteed contract, something like that. The duration, as you were saying, by the time we take up the project and deliver, it may be anywhere between 6 months to 1 year. So that means it's the developmental aspects also would be taken care, and also manufacturing and supply also has to be taken care of, unless if these are the phase one, phase two compounds. Phase three, of course, anyway, that is already R&D part will not be there because it's only a scale-up and manufacturing and supply. With respect to the passing on the, what do you call, the material costs, see, these are all campaign-based products. It's a small volume, high value-based products. And unlike generic, it's not every month you deliver. As I said, it can take 6 months to 12 months. When the order comes in, we already place the orders. Some of the raw materials, like solvents, we may not place immediately, but the critical raw materials we place up front. There may not be that much increase in the cost. But when it comes to the, as you rightly said, when it comes to the solvents, yes, certainly it will hit us. But at the same time, we cannot pass on because we agreed upon 6 months ago. Only thing, this can be passed on when we have a repeat order after success of this small equivalent clinical trial, and based on the raw material cost at that time compared to the original raw material cost, that time we can put a new pricing on it. But I also said that in case of agrochemicals, which on a regular basis we supply, because there is a possibility, not a possibility, there we are able to pass on some of the cost, not the total cost. There we could do something like that. But on the CRAM side, we could not pass on. Only when the repeat business comes in, then we increase the price. But with respect to the, how do you manage the, I mean, it is a particular product mix. It keeps changing. Tomorrow, I may be able to do the same volume. If my value-added products are not there, then my margins may be less. So it's, you cannot take one quarter and just say that. But in general, we are maintaining it. Maintaining is that over the year, we are maintaining it. Plus 40%, that's what I give the guidance. But recently, we have achieved 45 plus also. And we still feel that it will remain at the same level, around 45 in that range.
Okay, so the margins that we expect for the longer term is 45%.
Right.
Oh, perfect. Thanks. And so just one last question. This Rizon Pharma that we sold, when we were accounting for its income, looks like almost 50 crores per annum we were earning from this associate. And it was sold for somewhere around $55 million, including the stake that we have received in the company. So that is almost 400 crores value. So looks like it was sold for 8 times earnings. Any reason for this valuation?
What do you mean by any reason for the valuation?
I mean it looks a bit low. The 55 crores we were earning per annum, it was sold for 400 crores. Was it because of the nature of the business that it was more of a generic business?
You yourself said that. Because one quarter may be more, one quarter may be less, and these generic businesses will not, 1 year it may be blockbuster, 1 year it may not be, on an average. But at the same time, we have gone there because it's the biggest partner coming into the picture, who has other operations also, which he can integrate and bring the business, more business. We are looking for more business opportunities, rather than the making in a sale. It's not a pure sale, no. We are still in there. And as you could see, by buying one of the assets which they have not bought it during this process, which we are now trying to buy it at the asset value only. So it's the, we didn't get the high dollars on there, but we're not going to pay high dollars for the asset we're going to purchase. It's actually a long-term perspective. You cannot go one-on-one and just to make in a year and a half time, 10 times, you cannot do that. And you want to look for the long-term prospects. That's the way we
got
have
it. Got it. Makes sense. Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to remind our participants to please restrict their questions to 3 per participant. Time permitting, you may return to the queue for your follow-up questions as we have several participants in the queue waiting for their turn. The next question is from the line of Rahul Picha from Multi-Act EMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for very good numbers this quarter. So, sir, firstly, your commentary on visibility for the coming quarters seems very strong now relative to what it was until last quarter. So, you have already spoken about the pharma CRAMS segment. Can you also talk a bit about the specialty chemical segment? Is there any increased visibility there? Because earlier we were kind of expecting 10% growth this year in that segment, and in the 9-month period itself, we have grown 7% over the entire FY21 number. So if you can just speak a bit about that.
Yeah, I don't see much growth more than what I have promised last time, what I have told last time on the agro side. But on the CRAM side, is the traction is much better, and for the next 2 quarters at least. That's what the guidance has up today.
Okay, so you expect the CRAMS revenue run rate to continue while in the specialty chemical segment on an annualized basis we might do what we had earlier guided. Is that
yes,
correct?
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And sir, my second question is on the stake that we have received in the new company. What is the outlook on that? Do we plan to hold it or we intend to monetize it in the near term?
No, because the purpose is to get the long-term value creation while you get your money back. That's what the whole purpose is, right? While we get your money back, it's on profits, right? And this is a conglomerate, a $45 billion company, which has two or three other pharmaceutical operations also under their belt, and they are going to take this to the next level. In that process, we are going to get, we hope that we'll get more opportunities because they grow better because, these PE funds, they expect growth now. So similarly, with their growth, being a part of it, we would like to get a better growth prospect. So at this time, no, unless there's a value creation is there, maybe 3-4 years from now, we may think about it.
Okay, understood. And sir, for FY23, are you in a position to give any guidance for FY23? Like what could be the revenue?
I already mentioned in my earlier comment that I cannot give more than 6 months. Today, tomorrow, or yesterday. Same thing, it will remain the same. Our business model is such that my customer does not have the visibility because it's all at, clinical trial based, outcome based results. So it's very difficult for us to tell. This is maximum I can tell. 6 months.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Next question is for the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Sir, any molecule of us going into the commercialization stage, sir, and what impact it could have on top and bottom line short term, sir?
No, see, I think you have to understand, what we get is the sales price only. It has nothing to do with the commercialized the brand value because we are supplying the intermediates. And intermediates, nowadays the API cost in the brand thing itself is less than 2-3%. And out of that, even it may be $2 or $3 billion value, it doesn't mean that we get a lot of it. So what you see is, that year you will get a good amount of growth and sustaining that for the following years based on the how the molecule performs in the market itself. But you cannot... What kind of intermediate we are doing, early stage intermediate, later stage intermediate, regulated intermediate, it has various components. So just because it is commercialized, The only opportunity is, unlike in the earlier base grants where phase one fails, you don't go to the next level, so it's a 0 to 1. But in commercialized thing, you expect to get, maybe if you sell 10 kilos this year, tomorrow you may get 20 kilos or 50 kilos or 5 kilos. Something will be there. That's the only difference. Other than that, not much difference.
Okay, sir. And you were planning for the succession, sir, and professionalization of the company, sir. Any development on that front, sir?
Not yet. Well, we are still working on it because COVID has stopped many of the activities, including the relocation of the people and all that stuff. So we are on the process. I hope you are not sick of me talking to you.
No, sir, you have put up your fantastic achievement for anybody in one's lifetime. And starting out with 1995 IPOs and so much of time you have spent to the company, and we are grateful for that. Thank you.
Sure. No, but we are out.
Yeah.
Working out.
Yeah.
Does that answer your questions, Mr. Gautam?
Thank you.
Our next question is in the line of Gokul Maheshwari from Sohansa Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So just one, is there any update on the phase 3 molecules moving ahead?
No update as of now. We did not get any intimation, I mean, from the customer. Still there in the process. So.
And the timeline for this would be another 6 months or so?
Highly impossible to tell, sir, because it's only the results that will tell us and how fast they can give us the guidance. Because if they need it, they will tell us. I mean, minimum it takes 6 months. But as of now, nothing is there in the pipeline, which any customer told me that you should be prepared to for the next supply. So it may come tomorrow. I mean, I don't know, but anything can happen any time. But right now, I don't have any indication when these things will be to the next level of operations.
And assuming that hypothetically these molecules do move from phase 3 to phase 4, would we be ready in terms of capitalizing on it in terms of capacity and our ability to deliver?
Oh, yeah, those things we never had any problem because even when they go over the next level also, we have time, at least 6 months time to do that. It's only instead of doing the campaign based, we'll be doing the continuous basis and the same thing. And if there's any balancing equipment is needed, that can be done within a couple of months. And because the volumes are not going to be like generics with hundreds of tons to be done. That's what it is.
Okay, fine. And just wanted to clarify again on the Casper potential acquisition of the plant. Is this going to be dilutive or not dilutive to your current business in terms of margins?
Margins, see, generics will have a different profile of the margins. And we are talking about one side where everybody is expected the top line growth also wrong. For that, this kind of an organic thing also, we need to look into it, which is an opportunity that has popped up suddenly. Otherwise, this is a, as you know, whatever formulations what we are doing is a leveraging exercise, and you know, it has a lesser margins compared to the grants. But at the same time, this being a profit-sharing model, I think the margins, when eventually, when it commercializes, I think it will come to the same level. But it has its gestation and timelines.
Okay, makes sense. And just last question, this is more to Sundar, sir. What would be the if you can quantify the profit on sale amount in the other income which was there in this quarter?
No, this other income has got different components, right? It is not just what is basically what we have total. There are about 55 crores worth of the quantum of the sales net of the tax that is being considered. That is part of this.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Next question is from Bharat Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for such a great set of numbers in this kind of environment. So my question pertains to this pharma cancer, which is commercialized, and I assume it's a COVID drug, which you were earlier alluding in our earlier calls. Sir, is the understanding correct?
What is it again? This is a COVID drug, that's what you supplied in the commercial.
Yes.
You can say anything commercial. Yeah, yeah. Yes, that is what it is. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Sir, so my question pertains to that, sir. The innovator is quite upbeat on this particular drug, and now they have firm government contracts as well as what they are eyeing, and we are reading that probably they are planning to make 100 million plus of the courses of that particular drug by the end of calendar year 2022. So, sir, this seems to be a real big opportunity from what the innovator is talking. Sir, sir, how do we sense this, and what's your view on that?
Your thing is too optimistic. That's all I can tell. You have to understand one thing. When we are talking a drug which is going through the phases of clinical trials and gets to the marketing authorization, the number of players that are available for the innovator is 2 or 3 or 4. But when a pandemic comes in, and when they have to scale up on everything, they go after 10 to 15 different people. Okay? So, you don't get, unlike in a regular drug where we are going only 3 or 4 suppliers for the same intermediate in a regular non-pandemic drug, but a pandemic drug, it can be the opportunities also maybe 1 or 2 years only, and also not necessarily you will get the whole part of it, 20-30% of it, because they need to have this in a jiffy. So they will have all their sources, and also there is no restriction on this because as you could see, they also are giving you compulsory licensing to other countries also. So they source this material from so many sources. So yes, we have an opportunity and we keep supplying. We'll be one of the things, but at the same time, they don't give everything to the people, and that you have to understand. Don't think just because it is so much business we are doing it, I think we have a bigger opportunity. Yes, we have a good opportunity, but you can't think that in a gigantic numbers, but it is a continuing opportunity.
Correct. That I understand, obviously, sir, they will be sourcing it from multiple players. So from the sheer number of courses they are seeing, it's a huge number that coming up. Anyway, sir, and sir, do we kind of supply intermediate for both the antiviral drugs use that API? Since you were earlier alluding some product where we were supplying two intermediates for that particular drug.
So we supply one intermediate for the new drug.
No. Okay, so that for the novel API which they are making that.
Yes, yes, yes. You know that I'm always in the novel things, not in the general things.
Yeah, yeah, correct, correct. Great, sir, and sir, all the best for this opportunity, sir. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from Ranveer Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I joined a bit late, so if you have already explained it, I'm not sure. So just I wanted to understand the transaction rate rising. So two things I wanted clarity, that after sale of 25% stake there, will the rising will continue to market our formulation?
It's only the stake sale. The business remains the same. No changes in the business. Contracts, whatever it is, existing products, everything will remain the same.
So,
the shareholding is reduced. I mean, we got a new shareholding in a new company, but by divesting the existing shareholding, where we got our money back, plus the residual share of 7% in the new company.
Okay. And the 15% stake you have taken in that region, what benefit actually that will give in terms of revenue or profit?
What is it again?
The 15% stake which you have taken in a region.
15%? Where is 15%?
15%.
No. We have 25% stake in Rising Pharma Holdings. And the Rising Pharma Holdings, along with Astor Pharma USA, was sold to HAG Partners, called Raising Aggregator Company, and that is a new company, where we have received $41 million in cash, $15.8 million worth of shares in the new company. So
it is 7%.
7% equivalent, not 15%. 7% of the new company. And we have the contracts in place as it is, the business runs. And also we have a new opportunity to acquire a new place where they have contracts, long-term contracts, which we can take advantage of. That's what it is.
Okay. And how the accounting treatment in this quarter has been done? So how much profit we have in this P&L in this quarter?
Yes, there is a profit element. Whatever the cash realization on which capital gain be made, that is accounted for as the other income. It is part of that. It is 55 crores net of tax has been included here. And apart from that, the new stake, whatever is there, actually 15.8 million, will be continued to show in the writing in this one for my Inc. books as further investment in Rising Aggregator LP. That is the one where we have a stake of 7%. The accounting treatment will be, the new stake will be there. The old stake, to the extent whatever the realized capital gain, that is realized in the form of cash there, it is there in the consolidated account.
So realized capital gain is $5 million?
It is about 55.41 crores net of taxes in India.
Okay. Okay. And for the new company we are going to acquire, Berlin Capital, what kind of investment will we be making this into?
We are setting
up
one company.
No, that will be known only after the diligence.
Okay. And any timeline when this company may start giving the venue to us?
Hopefully in a month and a half time.
We need to complete the legal due diligence, financial due diligence, and also the valuation exercise. Then even the decision will be taken.
Oh. And the last one.
Sorry to interrupt, but may we please request you to return to the queue as we have several participants waiting for the turn.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Cinderella Carvalho from Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. Sir, if we look at our FY21 pharma base, it has significantly improved. Now, if we look at our 9-month FY22 pharma base, we have almost closer to our last year's pharma base. You highlighted that there is a commercialization issue in this quarter, I mean the last quarter. What strengths are we bringing in our business? It's consistently outperforming our guidance. Amid pandemic also, we faced earlier challenges also, but however, we continue to expand this base ahead of our estimates. So what strengths that we are bringing into this business, which is allowing us to do that? What more things that you want to bring on the table, which will enable this platform to continue in the same number? Can you allude to this and can you also take us through your process on these areas? Also, the second part of it is on the specialty side also. If you can highlight this, it would be very helpful for us because we are increasingly doing better.
Yes, I hope you say the same thing when the volume goes down also, because the thing is, in the business model itself, based on the success of the molecules, the opportunity comes in. That's why we could perform. It is not that we have done anything different, and also the valuations are also coming based on the product mix. And now as they are telling you, the traction is much better in the clinical compounds where they are maturing into the next level or going to the next opportunity. That's why you could see this. There's nothing different what we are doing all these years. It is the success of the molecules at the clinical trials is going to give us the success. Yes, now it's giving about 25% or closer to growth rate, but sometimes it can go double also if the number of molecules moves into the next level. But at the same time, maintaining that is going to be a humongous task, because after the success is going to the next level, then the repeat business takes maybe 18 to 24 months sometime. So it's very difficult, but as of now, as I said earlier, for the next 6 months it looks good, and hope more things will come into the picture so that we can continue our robust business that is existing as of now. With respect to the specialty chemicals also, same thing, as I said, 5 to 10% growth is possible, and which is going in the same line, and the molecules in the development, if they move into the next level, then you can get the opportunity. At the same time, the molecules which are in the supply chain also, if they have a better market potential, which likely to have, that also can give us a better prospect. Unlike generic molecules, all these NCE-based, new chemical entity-based molecules, this has this positives and negatives, but that's the way, so far so good, and certainly a couple of quarters maybe nothing may happen also, but as you could see for the last 10-15 years, on an average we are maintaining 10-15% growth year on year.
So we understand in terms of molecule success, that is very well understood in, as a part of our business model. But what I was trying to understand is, are there any core strategies that you're executing in terms of, coping up with these, to enable ourselves to support these newer technologies or any newer acquisition pipelines or new segments which enable us to support these developments, right, in the right direction? And what is your thought process on that?
As I mentioned last time itself, as a matter of fact, we have a portion about 50 crores towards technology acquisition. In addition to that, I see the thing is, if I want to do something and sell on myself in the market, then it's a different ballgame to acquire the technologies. These technologies are acquired based on the requirement of the customer, feedback. But at the same time, we are very proactive in engaging with the customer for their future requirements, in updating our facilities, in creating the infrastructure for that, and also at the same time emerging in acquiring the technologies. So these are the continuous process. And first time we have just earmarked some 50 crores. As a matter of fact, every year we are doing something which is not much to be talked about it, but at the same time we have some ideas which we have brought to the notice of the business. They have to sponsor these products. We can put the infrastructure unless the product is there to work on the technology. Because since we are not a stock and sale item guys, we have to depend on the customer's feedback and customer's requirements. Yes, you're right, and this is one of the areas we are focusing on, and we are continuously engaging with the customer on that aspect also. Hopefully, some of these things which are required for them will be there by the time they require it, because we are engaging them ahead of time, 2 to 3 years ahead of time, slowly, and creating infrastructure to the tech end also.
That's great, sir. Thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing the changes and coming. Looking forward to the next performance. Also, one more thing: have you clarified what is the impact on the P&L, given that there is a logistical cost still remains upward? Have we said that earlier for this quarter? I mean Q3.
No, there is nothing much. You've seen that it's a robust one.
No, I think it could have been 3% more.
Yeah, but basically, the raw material cost, 280 basis points compared to previous year, there is an increase. but it did not really impact us so much.
Great. Thank you for that clarification. And just one last from my end. So once now this cash is back on our books, so any immediate thought process apart from the Casper evaluation that you're working on right now, but anything else that comes to your mind as priority?
No, right now we have declared a dividend as part of the amount, which is part of our cash, which is 3 rupees, which is already announced. Plus the Casper thing is we are evaluating right now. Other than that, we don't have any plans of any other things. Because we have our own capex to spend, right? We have 600 crore to be spent over a period of next 2 to 3 years, actually. So, you know, the focus is more on that, as of now.
As of now, we are not thought of anything one at a time. We are doing
yeah,
one at
that's
a time. We'll come back to you if there is a change in the thought process.
Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is going up from Anderson. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. If I missed, I might have missed it. Did you give a guidance for the full year, sir?
I cannot give the guidance. I never gave the guidance. I will not be able to give the guidance. I said the only 6 months I have the visibility. My customer also has the same visibility. So I think I want everybody to know I cannot give a yearly guidance, period. Thank you.
Understood. And sir, when you talk about this 15% growth on a longer term basis, that is what you keep trying. So it is just a it is more of a track record rather than giving a specific guidance. Is that correct, sir?
See, that is only based on the past record, right? And since I can't give any forward-looking thing, so I had a hope to achieve that, a minimum of that, because that's all we have, because there's a traction that is happening. I may not have the numbers-wise, but the quality of things that are going on, based on that only we are telling. But success of the molecules will give us the success. If something is there, suppose if I know a couple of molecules from phase 3 to going to the next level, I can say, yeah, next year, 9 months onwards, I may have another 10-15% growth, add on to the existing growth, I can tell. But right now, as I was telling to other gentlemen, for the next 6 months, anything is there out of the 5 molecules, so far I have not received any intimation. It may happen tomorrow or day after also. It is possible because things are very dynamic. But giving a yearly guidance is very difficult for me, and neither my customer can give it to me. So I'm unable to give that. So I stuck to that 3 to 6 months maximum.
Understood. So the last thing I just wanted to check that earlier you used to kind of give us a guidance that you will be able to sustainably deliver 40% kind of margin. So have you kind of increased that to 45% now, and if any particular reason why you are looking at a better margin trajectory going forward?
Based on the last three quarters and all that stuff, based on the next 2 quarters, I'm sticking my neck out to around 45%.
It is not as if like a longer-term target, right?
As I said, when I have a visibility of 6 months only, how can I give a longer-term target? That's my problem. That's the biggest problem. But you have to go and see. I mean, the past also you have to see. And hopefully it will come. But I cannot say, yes, I will do the next 10 years like this. It's very difficult to tell me.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anshul Sehgal from Kotak PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Many of your Chinese competitors have been put on a unverified list by the U.S. Department of Commerce. How does that have a rub-off effect on our
business? No, because the business model where we are in, we are engaged with the innovators in the clinical phase of the drug development. So we are not into generics. So the effect will be more or less nothing on Suven's business model. I can tell for the generic players.
No, even companies like Wuxi have been put on this list. So those companies are actually contract manufacturers, similar to, and they have a similar business to what we do. Still, you don't think there will be any rub-off impact?
Putting it on the list is one thing, actually implementing the other thing. So when they start implementing, we have some idea. Then we will be able to know it. Right now, I cannot tell because Wuxi is one of the biggest, you know, and yes. But Wuxi is 100 plus odd people outside the things. How much anybody can get out of that, we don't know. But the implementation is the name of the game, right? So it's very beginning, so we cannot give any indication how it will work. Yes, it may have a positive effect. But other than that, I cannot tell you, quantify it.
Okay. We've added over the last 3 odd years roughly 100 crores. I think by March 21, our gross block was about 570 crores. And we may have by now added another 95 to 100 crores to our capital working program. Now, given that we are at about 67 kind of gross block, what kind of revenue potential does this incremental gross block have on our business?
Yes, go ahead. Probably can put the next person on the queue because the last one, the voice was very feeble.
Mr. Sehgal?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My question was that we've added roughly 300 crores to our gross block over the last 3 odd years. What is the incremental revenue potential from this gross block addition?
In Suven's parlay, there is no incremental revenue. This is a requirement for this thing, and it cannot be on a, what do you call, sometimes the investment we put, we can recover it in a 1 year's time. We are not putting in that way because these are all the value-added products and a campaign-based products, and they are selling. I cannot even give you a guidance for that. And incremental thing is not the question. It's value-added purposes most of the time we are doing, and sometimes we are doing it for the enhancement of the capacities also. Because when you are you see the difference between the sales we have done at that time to the sales we have done at this time, there will be a need for that, and we have to do this proactively ahead of time. Then based on that, the value creation will happen. But unlike generic, where I can give you a guidance of how much incremental growth in the things can happen. Here, it may be the value-added product, or it may be as a little bit of volume-based activity also that can happen. So it's really difficult in our case to give you a guidance on the based on the capex we have done, which we never able to get. I can give an example, maybe you can appreciate it. If you ask me, because this is a campaign-based product, that means it's not a train is not running fully in the sense, it is generic. If you have 20 reactors for one product, all the reactors are occupied all the time, so you can tell. In our case, if you ask me what's your capacity utilization today, I would say 100%. And but if you see, come and see it actually in physical form, it will be only about 75 to 80% because not all of the equipment cannot be used for certain products. So some of them will be vacant. And sometimes I may need to the balancing equipment. So you cannot go by the asset allocation, unlike other business models or the capex-based activity. It is, in general, a proactive approach to the requirements of the customer and getting the value creation on that eventually. But it's very difficult in business model to tell these numbers.
My final question, this with the incremental capex, if I was to put it differently, what is the change in conversation that we are having with clients with regard to, say, the products or value addition? Anything that you can throw light on that?
Yes.
And also, since COVID broke out, has there been an enhancement in inquiries that we have been receiving?
No, so, I mean, the inquiries are same. As a matter of fact, it's a little less than the regular ones because most of the people are concentrating on the COVID-based activities rather than the multi-purpose activities. So slowly that is coming back to the normalcy now. But last 1 or 2 years, there are less number of inquiries for the normal projects. Okay, when it comes to these CAPEX, the CAPEX we are now apportioned for 600 crores is to get a new block instead of the 35-year-old block in the Suryapet plant that is only going to give you the updated infrastructure with all the requirements that is needed. So the capacity-wise, a little bit traditional capacity will come, but not much to talk about it. In the relocation of the R&D center, there is nothing going to be an additional thing because there's a requirement that inside the ring road to outside ring road we have to go. That is that purpose. The only thing we are putting in the Pashamaya around 200 crores is going to be the part of the additional capacity creation for the new requirements, including the new requirements by the customers, types of reactors, different types of operations, and the types of technology to be used, and also the, what do you call, the OEL facilities, that kind of opportunity that we need to create for future, but that is the only thing for the capacity expansion. So, this is rationale what we have thought of on the CapEx. It is a Cash 22, if you don't have the capacity with the required, because when we're doing multi-number of projects, the requirements are different compared to if you're doing 10 the same products day in, day out, you know what kind of infrastructure you have to put in. But it's a multi-purpose and multi-technologies may be incorporated in that, and some of them may be not utilized, but at the same time, we incur the cost. That's the proactive nature to get the continue to run the business with the customers. This is what, as I was telling earlier, we are engaged with the customers in ascertaining their needs, either in terms of the infrastructure or in terms of the acquisition of the technologies. But they are the sponsors. Until that time, we don't do anything other than doing this kind of activity.
Thank you. Thanks for patiently answering the question.
Thanks.
Next question is from the line of Pratik Kothari from PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. So just to reconfirm this asset that we are acquiring in Hyderabad of Casper India, the oral solids are generics, right? The one that will be manufacturing?
Yeah, generics only. It's for both solid orals, tablets and capsules. Eventually, liquids can be accommodated in the future expansion. Yeah.
Fair enough. And, you also made this comment earlier, and we have always been saying that we'll always be on the novel side. So just why this change, or what is this thought process to enter generics now?
We have entered this 5 years ago, and I clearly mentioned it's a leverage exercise. And novel side is always there, and that is our bread and butter, and we are focusing on that. At the same time, there is an opportunity because we have the skill sets that are there and which we are not able to utilize fully. We have to utilize it, and this is going not unlike other big players where generics and blockbuster generics, we are going to niche generics at the fag end of it, not competing with anybody. Trying to do the leverage and get some profit out of it. So it's an additional avenue to generate the revenues.
Fair enough. And just to reconfirm again, we said that accounting for profit share and everything, the margins could come up to be similar to what our current levels are. Eventually, maybe a couple of years down the line.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Amit Patel from Canada.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. I have a two questions. Maybe I'll just try my luck. So what are the total commercialized molecules right now, and what will be the total component of sales from this particular molecules of the total sales, what like 390, what we did this year or this quarter?
We have clearly mentioned that we are not giving any breakup on this because they are not consistent, they keep changing. So it doesn't give any indication to anybody. In general, the total gram sales only we are telling.
Five commercial molecules.
Yeah, total. We have five commercial molecules, but the sales in a particular quarter.
We are giving a breakup on those things. Total is 266 crores what we have done for this quarter. And for 9 months, we did about 563.9 crores under grants, pharma grants.
Got it. So any, like, maybe on annualized basis also, you guys are not going to share what will be that percentage, because the reason why I'm asking is I can understand the quarterly changes what this commercialized molecules must be going
even
through.
Yearly also, it's not giving me guidance. So I cannot give a guidance to somebody when I can't understand myself, because it keeps changing. It's not going to be a regular like a generic where it can take place even though it's a commercialized one. What are the molecules with women's health? Since 1 or 2 years, there is no repeat order. So it's very difficult because people are just putting on the Excel sheet saying that, okay, this year you did this much for this particular molecule, so next year you will be able to do this. They put that and they question me. When I cannot perform that way, when I won't be knowing that way, I cannot give you. That's why we have dispensed away with giving the individual molecule base rather than the total percentage of growth we are at.
Even on a year-on-year basis, the ratio of the commercial to pre-commercial could vary actually. It could be 40-60, it could be 50-50, or it could be 60% in commercial and 40% in pre-commercial. It keeps changing actually. So because of that, you know, when people make a kind of wrong estimate or wrong guess, we don't want them to make some wrong, purely putting in Excel sheet and trying to calculate. So that is the reason actually, for us, what it matters is total grams, pharma grams, total specialty chemicals. That's how we focus on, and that's what we are trying to give.
Okay. I appreciate. My second question was that, and I am again trying my luck here, is that you mentioned in the your maybe opening remarks, maybe somewhere, there are total five molecules in the phase three. Am I right to catch that number?
Yes.
Now, just like wanted to know, what would be that age of that youngest and the oldest molecule in this particular five? At least that indication can you provide us? Because it has nothing to do with your future.
No,
I'm just trying to get a sense out of it.
So I have to give you a scenario. The reason is some categories, the total duration for a phase 2 clinical trial can be 2 years. Some categories, the duration can be 5 years. So it's very difficult based on the things that is there. The youngest is about 9 months, and the oldest is around 4 years.
Oh, that's it.
But that doesn't give anything, no? That's the problem.
I have been following you for 8 years, so we understand all these things. We are not explaining just for like how do we get some sense of the maybe future, which is my
perspective. One more feedback. I mean, I never count on anything until it is successful. So that's why I won't give any guesswork.
Okay, no problem. I got my answer, sir. Thank you. Have a nice day, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of VT Vedinathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Just two quick questions. You said the R&D center was shifted from the inner ring road to the outer ring road. Is there any government compensation which will be provided for the same? Number one question. This is my first question, please.
No, they want, it is a requirement. Any R&D facility, with a pilot plant in the, any R&D facility, chemical R&D facility, inside the ring road, they need to be checked out. And the timelines, there, another 2 to 3 years are there still, but we are planning ahead of time rather than waiting to the last minute. With respect to the compensation, no. They are not going to give any compensation. It's not like China where they can give you 100% relocation compensation. Here they don't give anything. As a matter of fact, as an association, through the association we are requesting, whoever is moving out of this place to because of the regulation, at least they should provide the land at a reasonable cost, even that is not being taken care of. So it's very difficult. I hope they'll do something about it, but as of now.
So right now, given to understand that we have to buy the land at the current market rate and that has been apportioned to in the 600 crores. Am I right, please?
Yeah, yeah. We are planning around 150 crores for that purpose.
Okay. And my second question is based on the recent sale of Rising Pharma, a certain stake and the capital gain which accrued from it, which we have to pay. Is there any saving when we acquire Casper or any other this one? Is there, will we be able to save something from that particular capital gain?
They are independent. It has nothing to do with it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That was my two quick questions. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Next question is from the line of Nikhil from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just one quick question. So with the acquisition of this Casper facility, do we actually want to offer CRAM services to innovators for formulation work also, or is it like we want to use it only for our own ANDA filing as we have been planning to do for our earlier formulation facility?
So this is a formulation facility. It has a long-term contract with Rising Pharma already. And it is only for the formulations only. And whenever these new products are coming, there is a possibility that the API may be needed, which we can do from the CRAM side of the business also. It is a creative that way. So it is only purely formulations. It is for the already filed ANDAs and also future R&D projects arising out of Rising's R&D facility will be scaled up, filed, and manufactured and supplied on a profit-sharing basis.
Okay. Fair enough. So, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, we would request you to please restrict your questions to two per participants. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for follow-up. So, firstly, can you share some insights on the existing formulation business of ours? Like, how do you see that playing out in FY23? Here, at least, I believe you'll have some visibility in terms of launches and etc. I mean, in last year, you had mentioned that in FY22, you're expecting a 505B2 product. So, if you can update something on that.
Yeah, the existing facility will be useful for all those things which are in the pipeline for us, and that will be sufficient. As I said, the capacity is less than 400 million. And the new opportunity has come because of this divestment of our stake in the things, and they are divesting their asset in India for us as a partner. We have the opportunity, first opportunity to bid for it. That's why we're going for it. So it is two independent things. This is a new opportunity. That's an existing opportunity for the existing molecule.
Yeah, I wanted to understand the visibility in terms of the existing business that we have.
Existing, as and when the commercialization takes place, and as I said, two more things are approved and that will be supplied within the next 3 to 4 months. Similarly, there are another 10 products are, filed, and they will be coming into the approval process, and one by one it will come because it's not in our hands. It's the FDA also. Some of these products, they have to do inspection of the facility is one thing, approval is a different thing. So, as far as inspection is concerned, we have no problem, and the facility-wise, the approval for the product is taking time, and as and when it's ready, I think we'll get it.
Right. But any visibility on FY23 for the business, sir, on this formulation?
What is it again?
Formulation visibility.
FY23.
Oh no, I cannot tell right now. I mean, we don't have. The thing is, it is very niche molecules, small molecules, small volume molecules. By the time the approval takes place, how many other guys, if at all, are there, we need to know. So it's very difficult. These are a leveraging exercise, and we want to increase the our pie in this side also.
Right. Secondly, sir, any thoughts on expanding Suven's CRAMS expertise in the biologics front?
No. That's a different ballgame, so we're not in there.
Any specific reason? Because maybe because of the size of the business, or it requires some different expertise on the R&D front. Any specific reason why we don't want to do it?
Yes, different expertise is needed. That means a different infrastructure has to be created, different mindset of people. So it has to be different. And it's not into my brain also, so I'm not going in the direction. I have to understand fully before I go into something. So that's why.
Right.
It's not into
Yeah, lastly, just clarification. So typically, whenever, like you have said, that we have got a new molecule commercial in this quarter, and typically, historically, whenever a new molecule goes into commercial, we have a pre-launch commercial quantity, and then it kind of tapers off for a year or so. So will that happen for this molecule as well?
Yeah, I mean, depending on the size of the things and requirements and all that stuff, everything is same. It may be a repeat order, can be 6 months later, or it can be 1 year later, or 18 months later, depending on how the molecules performs. That's an ongoing process. There's no set rules for that. It also depends on the project, product to product.
The reason I was asking this, because you mentioned that this is a COVID product, so maybe there could be a scouring supplier. This was the idea of things. But
yeah, there are many suppliers for this because it is a pandemic product.
Right. Okay, got it. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question, follow up from the line of Saravanan from Unified Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow up. On the taxation front, Mr. Sundar, can you give us some guidance for FY23? This quarter seems high. Is it because of the capital gain?
Yes. That is only
so will it normalize to our normal 23 to 25%
run rate? Yeah, it will be around 25%. That's what it is.
Okay. And on the formulations, earlier we had an aspiration where in a couple of years formulations could be one third of our business. So from a FY24 perspective, do we continue to nurture that aspiration?
We'll continue to have the aspiration, but the reality will kick in when depending on the type of the molecules we are and the type of the competition we will be in. Yes, we continue to have the same aspiration.
Got it, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is last question for today, which is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the follow-up opportunity. Sir, on the API front, which we were alluding last year or 2 years, since we want to migrate from intermediate to APIs, and I understand we were in talk with our innovator partners also, and the paperwork was going on. And sir, since now the traveling has little bit eased off, so where are we on that front, sir?
Now we are in the status quo mode only because it's just started, but the priorities will change. You know, when they start things, they'll go for the old one first and the new one opportunities. We are more interested than they and themselves are, so they'll take their own time. And I have not traveled last 2 years. Similarly, none of my customers has come last 2 years. Even when they come, they'll look for the present things and what are doing things that are saying. We are tracking on that, and it's not moving faster at this time. Hopefully, with this new restrictions are going away, hopefully things will move to place, but it's a long-run process. It's not that faster. We are in the lookout. We are in there working out in the direction.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, Arunal, for allowing me into this investors call of the third quarter. And as I have mentioned earlier, things are looking good in terms of the clients, pharma clients, and for the next 2 quarters also looking good. And hope the traction will be in the same mode so that we can perform much better, especially the agrochemicals. Things are in the same way as I mentioned earlier, 5 to 10% growth until we get the new development to project commercialization, which is 2 years away. And in the formulation front, two more projects are being approved, and we are trying to launch those in the next 3 months time frame. And similarly, additional ANDAs will be filed, and we'll come back to you when the new LOA given for this opportunity to acquire the Casper Pharma, when it matures into purchase, we'll get back to you and update you on that. All in all, things are looking good, and even under the trying circumstances with the, as I mentioned earlier, the only drawback that will happen for the existing growth to continue is non-availability of the, some of the critical raw materials. That's the only problem, which I cannot guess estimate at this time. Otherwise, things are moving normally. And thank you, and look forward to talking to you next time around. Thanks.
Thank you very much, members of management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sylvan Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.